God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So there was a Bible study going on, and the teacher had all the children sitting down, and he explained this story about Jonah and how he was in the well for 3 days, and he was running away from his mission. And then then one kid raised his hand and said, he doesn't think that's possible. He said, how can someone be in a well for 3 days? And the teacher responded saying, yeah, maybe, that really didn't happen. And then another student, a little girl said, she said she believes that happened. It's a miracle God did. And then the teacher said, well, how will you know? He said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And then he said, well, if Jonah's in hell, he said, well, then you ask him. Basically, why I bring up the story of Jonah is Jonah was called on a mission. He was on a mission from God to go and preach to the Ninevites. And the Ninevites were not Jews, but yet he was called to preach repentance to them. And he knew that God is merciful. He knew that if he went and he preached to the people in Nineveh, that they would repent, turn away from sin, and come back to God. And so his intention was not to follow through on his mission. He wanted to run away. And so he got into a boat, and he tried to run away from God, escape God. He thought he could somehow do this. And what does God do? He creates this huge storm, and the boat is just rocking back and forth, and everyone on that boat is terrified. They're just, like when you heard about the apostles, being terrified in the storm. So here they are, feel like they're dying, and they're all praying to their own God. They all had different gods. They were not Jews, except for Jonah. And so he's wide asleep. He's just asleep in the boat. And they look at him, they wake him up. They say, what are you doing? You need to wake up and pray to your God. And he says, the reason why this storm is happening is because of me. I disobeyed God, and this is why it's happening. If you throw me into the sea, then it will stop. And they all looked at each other, and they said, well, they have no choice. So they throw him into the sea, and that's when, he entered into the well. And for 3 days, he was there. And then he was taken to Nineveh, and he preached repentance. And sure enough, the people of God repented. And he was angry. He's angry as he's sitting outside of the city, and he sees this happening. And he's sweating, he's hot, and he doesn't have a shade. But God made a tree grow and give him a shade.
Amen, amen.
And then he took away the tree. He took away the shade. And God said to Jonah, the people of Nineveh are my people. Even though they're not Jews, I created them. And he wanted them to have a chance to repent. He didn't want to destroy them. And he gave him that tree to give him shade, and he took away that tree. He said, should he not show mercy to them as he showed mercy to Israel? And Jonah learned. He learned his lesson that even though he failed his mission, God persevered in conquering his heart.
Amen.
And he helped him to go back, right? The power of prayer, God was praying over him, and he changed his heart. He transformed his heart. There's a story I want to share of a family. The child needed to have surgery, and the parents couldn't afford to pay for the surgery. So the parents, they started praying before the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And they started praying for a miracle. They couldn't afford the surgery. And so their older son, who was about 7 years old, he overheard their parents praying. And he heard about his baby brother needing surgery. And so he thought to himself, you know, he'll pay for the surgery himself. He had his piggy bank. So he took his piggy bank and he snuck out of the house and he went to the pharmacist. And when he was on the pharmacist, the pharmacist was on the phone and he's just ignoring this 8-year-old kid. He doesn't really give him any time or pay attention. And he's on the phone, he's talking, he sees the kid. The kid's just staring at him, he's just standing there. And he keeps talking on the phone. Another customer comes in, he hangs up on the phone, he takes care of that customer. Then he goes back on the phone and ignores this kid. So the kid takes the piggyback and he scatters all the change on the counter. And he said, I don't know if this is enough, but I can give you more. My baby brother needs to have surgery. And I want my baby brother to have surgery. And so the pharmacist, he hanged up on the phone. He went to take the child back to his parents and he heard about the situation. The pharmacist who was on the phone was his brother and he was a surgeon. And the surgery he could do was the specific illness that he had. And so he did the surgery for free. And this is a true story. I didn't make up this story. I found this story online and it's a true story. I bring up this story to show how the power of perseverance and prayer. Amen. That's what all the readings point to. The first reading talks about the house of prayer. Then we hear about St. Paul. He is in agony that even though the Israelites received Jesus as the Messiah, they've been praying for centuries, waiting. And when Jesus came, they said no. We heard the song about when Jesus says yes, no one can say no, right? But they said no. Jesus came and they said no to Jesus. And St. Paul's thinking, it's so sad that his people, the Jews, are rejecting the Messiah. And yet that's what they prayed for. They waited and prayed. But when he came, they said no. Some of them did say yes, obviously, like St. Paul, Our Lady. All the apostles were Jews. You know, some said yes, a minority, right? But a majority said no. And so it comes to the gospel where our Lord gives us the big picture. He shows us the power of prayer when we persevere.
Amen. Amen.
Because what is this woman doing? She's first a Gentile, right? She's a Canaanite. She's not a Jew. She's leaving her area where she resides and she's going to Galilee. And she seeks out Jesus. And then our Lord does something curious. He ignores her, or what we perceive to him ignoring her. In a physical sense, he's not answering her. And then the apostles are irritated. It's like, okay, Lord, just tell her to go away. Just tell her to go away, right? But then she perseveres. She says, Lord, help me. And then he goes on to say about scraps and ministering to the children, but she keeps going. She calls him Son of David. She calls him Lord. Her faith is powerful. She perseveres in her faith. But what was really happening is Jesus is working into her soul.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
He gave her that faith because Jesus is God. He sparked that faith in her soul. Just like that little boy and the parents, he sparked that faith in their soul. It's a silent miracle. Our Lord works silent miracles every day. You all yes. Experience, amen? We don't see the parting of the sea, or we don't see fire come down from heaven. We know that every one of us has experienced miracles in our life. Amen?
That's right.
And so the miracle was first from within her soul. He tested her faith and he lifted her up. So he gave her that faith and then he strengthened it to do what? To praise her. O woman, how great is your faith.
Yes.
She was an example to humble the apostles, to humble the other Jews who are all surrounding Jesus. He used a Gentile, non-Jewish woman to humble all of them by her witness of faith. She never gave up. And so our Lord then praised her. So in our prayer life, we may think to ourselves, our Lord is not listening. He's not hearing our prayer. He's not paying attention. But that's just a temptation. Amen? Because just like this woman of faith, he calls us to have an increase of faith. You know, we can't grow our muscles if we don't exercise, right? When we exercise, what happens? We exercise diligently. Our muscles start to work, and then we get sore, right? You get really, really sore. And that's because when your muscles are breaking apart, because you're exerting so much force on your muscles, it breaks apart, it makes a tear, and then it heals. And once it heals, it becomes stronger than before. Amen? Yeah. Right. So we accept this in the physical reality, that we have to push ourselves to excel in what we want to accomplish. We have to exert energy, time, and it can be stressful, it can be, you know, really draining on our mental health, our physical health. But when we persevere in that mission, in that role, then we grow. Then we show our perseverance bears fruit. So this is not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual, where Jesus wants us to exercise our faith,
yes,
to keep getting stronger,
yes,
to the point where he does what? He praises us.
Right.
He says, behold, blessed is your faith. He will praise us, and we can't hear it with our ears, but we can hear it with our faith.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
Because the good Lord doesn't only want to praise this woman that we hear in a gospel many years ago, but he wants to praise us. We give praise to God, but just think that the good Lord can praise us when we're faithful to him. Amen? He can say, wow, behold my beloved son. Behold my beloved daughter. Look what they're doing. They're walking by faith, not by sight. Amen? So this is what our Lord does. We see parents do this all the time. You know, if a child is doing something great, you know, they have a good grade, they're playing sports, we cheer them on. We say, you did a good job. You know, we compliment them, we encourage them. And our Heavenly Father does no less for us. He encourages us in our faith, because what he wants us to do is something that's gonna be eternal. A prize that's not a trophy or a grade, but something that is eternal, a reward that is eternal, which is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And so we're all called to walk by faith, to be on a mission, to pray. We pray for our church family, right, to persevere in faith. We pray for ourselves to persevere in faith, to never give up the race, to always say yes to Jesus. When the Lord gives us a cross, we say, yes, Lord. I know this cross will increase my faith. And when I carry this cross, I can't carry it alone. I have to carry it through you.
Yes.
Amen? Yeah. And so we don't want to be like Jonah and run in the wrong direction. We want to go in the right direction. And when our Lord puts us in a situation where we feel a challenge, we can just turn to prayer. I bet Jonah was praying in that well. I bet he was praying hard. I bet he prayed like he never did before. He had nothing else to do. He wasn't able to do anything else. He couldn't eat. He couldn't drink. He was immobilized in prayer. And he prayed for 3 days. But our Lord shows that as a sign for us. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days.
Yes, amen.
And he rose on the third day. Our Lord is in heaven. Jesus is the high priest. And our Lord is not simply gazing upon us when he's in heaven. He's interceding for us.
Yes.
Amen? He's watching over us as a mediator. He mediates for us between his heavenly Father. So he is interceding for us so that we don't lose sight of our goal, which is only salvation. Amen?
Yes.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes.